guys. This is Jessica Murphy, and I'm your moderator this evening. I'm here with State Senator Maria Collette, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Collette or any of the panelists on tonight's call, press *3 at any time on your phone's keypad to submit a question. Again, press *3 to submit a question to tonight's discussion. Now, let's welcome Senator Maria Collette.
Thank you, Jessica, and thank you to all of the area residents that are joining me and our terrific panel of experts for this evening's important conversation about suicide prevention and mental health resources in our community. I'm Maria Collette, and I'm the State Senator for Pennsylvania's 12th District in parts of Bucks and Montgomery counties. During my time in office, so many of you of all ages have let me know that issues surrounding mental health care and suicide prevention are important to you. September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. According to a 2020 report by the CDC, suicide is the 12th leading cause of death in the United States, and in Pennsylvania, suicide rates have increased by 34% since 1999. These numbers are heartbreaking and unacceptable, and sadly, we know they have only worsened with the isolation and loss associated with the COVID-19 pandemic. This is an all-hands-on-deck issue. And on the state level, we were able to make substantial new investments in our mental health infrastructure with the 2022-2023 Pennsylvania budget, which included $100 million in federal American Rescue Plan funds for adult mental health supports and $100 million for student mental health grants. With so many Pennsylvanians struggling to access the support they need, I'm hopeful this is just the start, and I'll continue to be a strong advocate for accessible, affordable mental health services. I'm particularly grateful for our local partner organizations and advocates who are working every day to provide life-saving resources and educate our community about suicide and mental health. We have several of these folks on the line today to discuss these important topics with us. Abby Grasso, the Executive Director of NAMI Montgomery County, Maura Tumelty, Director for Access Services Mobile Crisis, Patty Dilley, Outreach Coordinator for the Peyton Heart Project, and Andrea Farino, co-founder of Abby's Bakery. We're going to start with some brief remarks from our panelists, and then we're going to move into our Q&A portion. Remember, if you have a question for our panel, press *3 at any time. Now I'm going to pass things over to Abby Grasso of the National Alliance of Mental Illness, or NAMI, to start us off. Abby?
Senator Collette, thank you so much for the introduction and for really bringing us together to talk about suicide. I have a great honor in overseeing NAMI, which, as the Senator shared, is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are the local affiliate for Montgomery County, and if you are in the Bucks County area that Senator Collette oversees and supports, there's also a Bucks County NAMI. And with any NAMI, we all have basically the same mission, and that's really to improve the lives of individuals and families affected by mental illness through support, education, advocacy, and building awareness. And I myself am a social worker of almost 25 years. I've had the privilege throughout my career, both personally and professionally, of supporting and working with people who had active suicidal thoughts or who had survived an attempt. And I'm really here tonight as a community member, as somebody who cares about other human beings. And I really think that having conversations about suicide are really important because we need to be able to have hard conversations and also know how to handle concerns that maybe our loved ones are dealing with or that we're dealing with ourselves, and know that there is hope available, there are resources available, and I'm looking forward to providing that to all of you tonight with this great group of panelists. So thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us this evening, Abby. Now we're going to hear from Maura Tumelty, the Director for Access Services Mobile Crisis. Maura? Maura? I'm saying it wrong. Maura?
It's okay. It's all good. I will answer. I will answer to anything that closely sounds like my name. Who even says how to pronounce it? But good evening, everyone. So I am the director of Montgomery County Mobile Crisis through Access Services. I've been here for 9 years. I started as a crisis worker, and crisis work and is really my passion, and I say that I was born and raised in this area, and so to be back here and being able to serve my own community in this way is just an honor to me. And truly, you know, thinking about community is so important, and believing that crisis services should feel like somebody is showing up for you on a hard day, that really sees you and cares about you. So I know a lot of people hear the word crisis, and, you know, I think there can also just be stigma with that word and what it means. And really, we as a program, you know, we want to talk to people at any stage in a cycle of crisis. You know, maybe they feel they're starting to struggle, and want to make sure that they don't get to that crisis point. And so to really, we have a very wide definition of what crisis is. You know, we want to just help connect people, help them, you know, build insight about themselves, help them navigate all of the resources that are out there, and help them feel not alone in a moment. And so to be able to do that 24 hours a day is just fantastic. And what that looks like is, you know, it's a completely free service. As long as you are physically in Montgomery County, we'll show up. It doesn't matter if you're a resident or not. And we have the power to give people options. So whether that's they just want to connect with us over the phone, if they want to connect with us virtually, or for us to come out and meet with them in the community. And that involves no sirens, two people in plain clothes and a Sonata. And really, because we want it to be, we'll meet you wherever you feel most comfortable. Nobody has to come to us. And I'm grateful that Montgomery County is invested in really a crisis system that comes to you where you are. You don't have to go seek that out. And to really, you know, think about this month, you know, in 2021 since 2013 was really the lowest number of suicides of individuals in the county that we've lost by suicide. And, you know, there's just really great initiatives of all different sorts. So many are here on this phone to talk about, you know, how do we support those experiencing it, and also how do we support those family members who maybe have lost somebody. And so I'm just really grateful to be a part of this conversation tonight.
Thank you so much, Moira. I really appreciate you being here. And I think, you know, you talking about how mobile crisis meets people where they are is such an important, you know, feature, and it's such an important part of this discussion, meeting people where they are. That's something we talk about in nursing. You know, we get our patients as they come to us. We don't get perfect patients or anything like that, so meeting our patients where they are. So I really do appreciate you saying that. Next, we have Patty Dilley of the Peyton Heart Project. Patty, can you tell us a little bit more about your organization?
Absolutely. Yes, I am the outreach coordinator for the Peyton Heart Project. I am also an advocate to the Montgomery County Suicide Prevention Task Force. The Peyton Heart Project was started in 2015. It was named after a 13-year-old, Peyton James, who's from Texas, and we lost Peyton to suicide in October of 2014. I became very passionate about the project because I, too, I'm a suicide loss survivor. I lost my 17-year-old son, Matthew, to suicide in September of 2014. This project was created by Jill Hugan and Sue Harris, and they're from New Jersey. Its mission is to help raise global awareness about suicide, bullying, and to help end that stigma surrounding mental health issues. I wish you all could see these lovely faces of this panel, because we're all here and we all have that same common goal of ending the stigma of mental health issues. So the Peyton Heart Project is just a heart that has an uplifting message attached to it. It's a message of kindness and hope and love. And we encourage people to keep a heart for themselves and to also share one with someone else. Many conversations have started just with one heart. And I began to educate myself after I lost Matt. I had no idea that suicide was the second leading cause of death for ages 10 to 34-year-olds. There is no age limit to suicide, and after one death by suicide, we see how so many within our community are affected. In Montgomery County, we are losing approximately 100 people each year, and I think Maura spoke to the fact that we were down a little bit in some of the years. I think we're down a little bit this year so far. Let's hope that continues. But our county is so rich in resources, and we need to let you all know that that's available to everyone. And we do provide trainings, and we're there. And I provide information about the Peyton Heart Project, and I go to different community people and have different events within, you know, your organizations. The biggest thing I think we can do is continue to have these conversations. But I think we have to stop just doing it in September, and we need to have it all the time, all year round. Listening to others is so important, and reaching out to someone is something that doesn't always appear to happen. Trust your gut, being there for others, and not to hide behind that smile. Reach out if you personally need help. I think those are the messages that we really need to focus on. Thank you so much for letting me be part of this.
Thank you so much, Patty, for everything that you do. And I can tell you I have Peyton Hearts everywhere. I have them in my car, hanging in my office here in the district, in my office in Harrisburg. I have one that I keep in my desk on the floor of the Senate. And I often, you know, read the messages because I think you're right. Just a little affirmation goes a long way. And as the mom of a 10-year-old, those statistics that you talked about are just incredibly stark. And it is, you're right, something that we all have to be mindful of and remember that, you know, we need to reach out to people. So thank you so much for everything you're doing. And finally, we have Andrea Farino of Abby's Bakery, which was created to honor the life and legacy of Abby Wolf. Thank you for being here to share your story. And we're also joined on the call by Michelle Wolf, Abby's mother. Andrea, can you tell us a little bit about Abby's Bakery?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Again, my name is Andrea Farino, co-founder of Abby's Bakery. And, you know, we are, thank you so much for having us and for hosting this town hall. It's amazing. It's, you know, a topic that needs to be discussed more. Again, ending that stigma, bringing it out into the forefront. You know, Abby's Bakery, like you said, was founded to honor the life and legacy of Abby Wolf, who we lost way too early. You know, she was kind, she was compassionate, she was creative, she was driven, she was funny, she was so funny. And she was an athlete and a crafter and a baker. But aside from all those things, Abby also silently battled depression and anxiety. And we did lose Abby to suicide on November 7th of 2020 when she was just 14 years old. And so, you know, our family, all we knew to do is put our grief to work. So we wanted to form an organization that would honor Abby, recognize her love of baking, because she loved nothing more than baking. Baking was her therapy. It was her favorite thing to do. She baked for family, friends, you know, ill relatives, neighbors, everyone and anyone. And she, we always said she baked with love. That was her secret ingredient. And so, you know, we wanted to, again, honor her, her love of baking, but also connect it back to mental health awareness and suicide prevention. So what we do, you know, kind of like Patty, who goes to a lot of events, we go to a lot of community events. We attend a lot of mental health fairs. We host our own mental health fair. And we are really just about getting out there in front of people and letting people know that it's okay not to be okay. It's okay to ask for help and really just encourage conversations. One of the things we do, we have the recipes for three of Abby's favorite recipes, which were banana bread, chocolate chip cookies, and brownies. We list the recipes on our website, or if you come to an event where we are participating, we sell mason jar baking mixes of the dry ingredients for those recipes. And we always encourage people that whether you're baking you know, from scratch from the website, or if you buy one of our jars, that you use the time while you're baking to really dive deeper and have those substantial conversations about mental health. You know, all the best conversations happen in the kitchen. It's a non-threatening environment. And it's really just such a wonderful time to ask those follow-up questions. We always say, you know, ask at least two questions. Ask about a specific thing that's going on in the person's life. Follow up about, you know, something that they might be concerned about that they shared with you. Because once you start the conversation, once you open up, open up the dialogue, it really takes away that initial fear, and you can really start to heal. So we are just advocates of mental health awareness and suicide prevention, and that's what Abby's Bakery is all about.
Thank you so much, Andrea. And I can say, I think when I first met you all at a community event, I bought two or three jars. I can't remember how many, but the recipes were wonderful. The ingredients were wonderful. And you're right. It was a really good experience to be able to be in the kitchen with my son, baking, talking, and you're right, just in that sort of warm, non-threatening environment to really just say, hey, how's it going, kid? And just get the chance to listen to him offer his feedback and experiences. So I really appreciate all of you being here. And I know that, you know, we have questions from our callers, but before we get to them, I also just want to say, you know, one of the things that you said, Andrea, it's okay to not be okay. And I want to make sure on this call that we sort of reiterate that it's okay, you know, maybe to not want to ask questions in this public forum. Before we get off of the call this evening, we're going to ask each one of our panelists to just give a little bit more about their contact information so that anyone who is listening in tonight who doesn't feel comfortable coming off of mute and speaking up or asking a question is still able to access the resources. And, of course, you can always go to SenatorColette.com where we will connect you with those resources, too. So, Jessica, before we get to any of the callers' questions, I have a couple of questions that were submitted to me, you know, in anticipation of this evening's call. And so I wanted to just throw this first one out there, and I'm hoping that, you know, we can get some feedback from Maura and Abby. What are some of the warning signs that someone may be suicidal? Is there something that they could be contemplating suicide? Is there something that we should be looking for? Of course, every person's different, but are there things that are sort of common that we could be looking for? Maura or Abby, if there's something you can offer.
It's so hard not to be able to see nonverbals to know who's going to talk.
You go.
Okay. I would say there's a couple, I'd say a couple different things, right? You want to look at really context, right? I always say, especially when there is any sense of what could be a loss, right? A loss of relationship, a loss of a job. You know, if somebody is experiencing something that maybe includes shame, and when there is a combination of when there is not a sense of belonging or that they're contributing, you know, to the world or have a meaningful role. And so I know those are really broad things because I don't want to get, like, if you get too specific too, we can talk about some of them, but really loss looks like different things for different people. And so looking at all those things, I would say too, anybody who's, like I said, withdrawn, I would really look too for, you know, those subtle statements that sometimes we all say without meaning it, like, oh, I just don't even want to wake up tomorrow, or I don't want to go back to work tomorrow, or I can't do this anymore. So I, when you hear those things, I would really pay attention to them and ask about them because they can be more passive ways, or I don't really care if I'm around here anymore. You know, giving away possessions is one, or giving away things, like wrapping things up. Two, anytime there's a sign of maybe if somebody has been struggling for a while and then all of a sudden they're really calm. For some people, if they are really making that plan, that they feel some peace when they make that plan. So I would say really any kind of change in behavior. I think about, you know, those who are really, you know, maybe high achieving or in high stress jobs, and there's a loss, right? Like there's a lot of things in that. So look for those things, especially if somebody's withdrawing, disconnecting. I think it looks different in everyone. But I would say those are the broader things. You know, people that you care about. Trust your gut is another really big thing. Abby, please feel free to add to that.
I think Maura hit so many things. And for me, I really struggle with the word normal because nobody should be normal. There shouldn't be a normal in our society. People should get to be themselves. But we each have our own normal. And I hope that makes sense for all the listeners because I think sometimes when that fluctuates and change, that might be a warning sign for someone. Most of us, actually all of the panelists on the call, are, as Patty mentioned, participating and involved with the Montgomery County Suicide Prevention Task Force, which is open to any community member that cares about suicide prevention. Whether they've had personal experience or not, if somebody cares, they're welcome to that group. And many of us on the call also are QPR instructors. And QPR is a training that's offered as a way to learn how to ask the question if someone's suicidal and then get them to talk about what's happening for them and then get them to resources. So it's question, persuade, refers, what the QPR stands for. And through that training, Maura hit kind of all of this, that we're looking for some kind of verbal, whether it's a direct or an indirect verbal clue that says somebody might be contemplating suicide, whether they say, you know, if I don't get this job tomorrow or if I don't get an A on the test, I'm going to take my life. We also have situational clues that might be lost. It might be, again, more touched on a lot of this. And then behavioral clues are things that might be changes in people's behavior. And I think while you look for things, and sometimes talking to loss survivors, people can identify things. Sometimes people don't share their intent, which makes this tricky. And I share that in not a way to be negative because we're hopeful here to have a conversation. But I also want people to know that we can't be responsible for someone else's direction in their life. And that can be as loss survivors, which several of us on the call are, it can be a really difficult feeling to manage.
Thank you, Abby, and thank you, Maura. I really appreciate the perspective that you've offered. I wanted to ask Andrea and Patty, to the extent that you're comfortable, can you help us understand, you know, how do we ask somebody that we're concerned for if they're contemplating suicide? Is there a way that we can approach it so that we're, you know, getting the feedback we need so that we can help in the best way possible and connect them to resources?
You kind of,
can you hear me?
It's okay. Yeah, you went dark for a second there. But
sorry.
No, you're fine. I got the gist of the question. It's Andrea. And since I'm off mute and already talking, I'm just going to dive in because as Moira and Abby were talking, I was, you know, chomping at the bit also. The thing about signs is, you know, my family struggles with that because if there's a, you know, a pinup for what signs are, Abby did not check any of those boxes. So when you talk about how can you bring up a conversation, it really is so much about just knowing the person and looking for any activity that is just outside the norm. You know, and these are things that one of the reasons why the calls like this are so important is that my family and I did not know about any of these resources before we were, you know, lost survivors, and we didn't know what to look out for, little nuances, little things, you know, in hindsight, like, I don't want to share too much, but, like, an example would have been, like, Abby was an avid volleyball player, and obviously she was a baker. If she had all of a sudden decided to give up volleyball or all of a sudden stopped baking, that right there is an opportunity to open a conversation. Any little misstep is an opportunity to open a conversation. And just keep asking some follow-up questions without, like, nagging it, but just really trying to get to the root, letting them know, letting the person know that you notice. Like, I notice that you are not doing this thing that used to bring you so much joy. Let's have a conversation about that. What are your feelings? What are you thinking? I hope that answers your question a little bit. And I really, again, as a loss survivor, just really wanted to emphasize how important just that constant monitoring is.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Patty, is there anything you'd like to add?
Yeah. So what Andrea said is true. We don't always see the signs. You know, afterwards, yes, I did, after I learned about suicide, after I educated myself, I did see Matt was isolating himself. He had stopped playing guitar, which is something he was passionate about, and he didn't want to go out, you know, which he used to love to go out to dinner and do things with us, and he pulled away from that. But a lot of people think, oh, that's just a teenage years, that's what they do. And again, what Andrea and everybody has said, you have to start questioning, make it in as a puzzle, and what isn't right about that person? How is that person changing? And start to think, wow, that doesn't really fit. Something might be going on. So I really encourage, you know, people to kind of look at that. And then I think listening is one of the biggest things that I have learned. I think we're so gung-ho about telling people what they need to do and telling our kids, this is what you need to do, instead of really, like, just letting them sit, just sitting with them and letting them talk to you and seeing if they come out with anything about, you know, what's going on and if they're sad, you know, why are they sad? And hopefully they will share that information with you. I just think if we can get more people in the community to take advantage of these wonderful resources that we have in Montgomery County, if we can get the schools more involved in having NAMI and the Peyton Hart Project and other, you know, having Abby's Bakery come into the schools and present, because that gives us an opportunity to talk and an opportunity for those kids to listen. And that's what my hope is, that we can do more of that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patty. I think that's such a really important piece of this, understanding how we get resources to the people that want and need to use them. One of the resources I do want us to talk a little bit about tonight is the new three-digit crisis hotline, 988. That went into effect this summer, and I was really honored to be part of the 988 Commission in the state legislature as we were getting this up and running. Abby, I'm wondering if you can talk to us a little bit about how 988 works.
Absolutely. So 988 rolled out officially in, I think it was July. Weeks are going by too fast this summer. And 988 actually replaces the previous suicide prevention hotline. So one of the great things about 988 is that we are taking a 10-digit suicide prevention hotline and we're making it easier to access by 3 digits. So just like if someone was concerned or needed fire, police, or EMS help at their home or in the community, they would call 911. The idea with 988 is that you call 988 and you get mental health support and community. Mental health support and resources. And I think the legislation behind this is terrific. I also, you know, and Senator, I'll put a little plug in for you, with you already being involved. You know, we need legislation to continue this. We need funding. As the calls to 988 increase, our communities are going to need more call centers to handle those calls. So there's, I think this is a really exciting beginning. And with that beginning, it gives us a chance to really look at how we can better improve the initiative through the legislation that's been put in and future legislation. One thing from Montgomery County that's really important to talk about is while we have a call center in Montgomery County that's answering 988 calls, them are awesome, Maura is here representing Mobile Crisis, our support with access services to the community has not changed. One other thing I think it's really important for families and individuals to know is that right now 988 is going to give you support and resources. It's set up in a way to support anyone that for themselves or someone they might know that's having a suicidal crisis, mental health, or substance abuse crisis. But our mobile crisis team has the ability to have mobile response, which at this point 988 does not. So I think that it's there's so many good pieces to it, but we really want to make sure that families and individuals know that our Montgomery County team and Maura, you can speak to your work. Although I sometimes feel like I'm like an add-in to crisis. We can still utilize that service. They've been up and running for I think over 10 years, and the great thing with our mobile crisis team is they also have links to warm lines that individuals can speak with, either a peer talk line or a teen talk line that can give extra support. So 988 is definitely up and running. I think that this is a great beginning. For anybody listening that wants to get involved, we at NAMI would love your help in advocating for legislation to fund and help see what can be improved with the current legislation.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And I guess, Maura, then this question is for you. So who do I call if I have a loved one or a dear friend or a friend, acquaintance, neighbor who's in need of immediate help? And does it matter if it's the middle of the night on a weekend? Who do I reach out to right away to get that help?
Sure. So, you know, as Abby mentioned, to have that, you know, full in your community crisis response 24 hours a day, that would be the mobile crisis hotline for the county, which is 855-634-4673. So when I say we're 24 hours a day, we answer the phone, we will respond into the community at 3 a.m. or 3 p.m., and we can absolutely call that. Also, if you happen to Google and 988 comes up first, that's okay too. They do have the capacity to transfer calls to us. And so you don't really need to worry about that. We want it to be kind of, there is not a wrong door entry to getting help. But as Abby had mentioned, the quickest way to getting, you know, that mobile response or any kind of, you know, virtual or face-to-face is better. You don't want people coming to your home. That would be the 24-hour crisis hotline for the county.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Jessica, I think we have a caller on the line who has a question for our panelists.
Yes, we do. Marilyn Jones from Hatboro, you're live.
Hi. My question is for Senator Collette. I also work in healthcare, and my thing is that, you know, you can put all the awareness out that you can, but we need to start funding the treatment for these people. Like, you know, it's difficult to get inpatient medical mental health beds. It's very difficult to get appointments with professionals. So, family can talk and they can get on and talk on a peer line, but, I mean, it truly is a mental illness, and we need to start supporting the treatment for them to get them help. Yes, the first step is to recognize that there's an issue and not be in denial. But then once they, sometimes these patients will come into emergency room and they'll sit there for a period of time before an inpatient psychiatric bed can be found for them.
Yeah.
And I think that's you know.
I think you raised such an important issue, and you're right. You know, I did talk at the beginning of this call about the American Rescue Plan funds and the money, you know, that was allocated in our budget to help with, you know, student mental health grants, adult mental health supports. But you're right. That is one of the barriers that we definitely are facing. One of the things we've done in the legislature is introduce legislation, and I have my friend and former colleague, Tom Mert, to really thank for bringing this to my attention. You know, legislation that would require insurance companies to act with parity when it comes to mental health and physical health. So, you know, when you go to the doctor for a physical health need, you're treated for that need. Typically, you know, we require insurance to do that. But with mental health, it's different. With mental health, we often allow insurers to put a cap on how many visits you're allowed to have with a therapist or a counselor, whether or not you're, you know, permitted to go inpatient for treatment, and how long you can stay inpatient for treatment. So that's part of it, you know, having parity between physical and mental health among our insurers to ensure that people are getting the access to the resources they need. But giving people access is not the same thing as making sure that we have the resource to treat them. So that's one of the other issues that you raised here. One of the other pieces of legislation that was introduced during this session was to have a sort of statewide database of the available mental health treatment beds, inpatient beds, across the Commonwealth. And in that way, hopefully, to alleviate those situations that you spoke of where someone comes into the ER and maybe they're there waiting for a mental health bed to open up. Now, does that solve the problem of whether or not the mental health bed is close to that person's home and family? Maybe not, but is it at least a step in the right direction of getting that person the immediate treatment, that the most immediate treatment we can get them? You know, so these are some of the things that we are trying to explore legislatively. But you're right, this really does come down to how are we prioritizing mental health treatment and mental health support when we look at our state budget and when we're passing budget priorities. I have been a vocal advocate for, you know, finding mental health treatment dollars in every nook and cranny of the budget that we can, to make sure that we are giving people the access to the resources they need. So I really appreciate you bringing this up. I think we have had a really, really strong partner in Governor Wolf when it comes to mental health treatment and really the urgency around mental health treatment. Unfortunately, during the COVID pandemic, it really did bring to light what so many of us have known for many, many years, that mental health needs to be prioritized, and it took sort of people being isolated during the pandemic and having you know, these difficult pandemic responses for us to sort of sit up and take notice. Not all of us, of course, but many of us to sit up and take notice and start doing what we needed to do. So I'm grateful to the governor for the $200 million in this year's state budget to help with these mental health supports, but it's not enough, and so we're going to keep working, we're going to keep pushing to make sure that we can do that. I'm wondering, you know, from our other panelists, especially Abby and Maura, if there's something that, you know, I'm forgetting about that you have a sense in our legislature that we need to be doing here in Pennsylvania. Is there something you're seeing other states do that we could and should be doing here that would really help to alleviate the problem our caller talked about?
Yeah, well, this is Maura speaking, and one of the things I wanted to talk about is I'm really grateful for these opportunities to be able to talk about mobile crisis and the support. One of our real goals is to relieve the burden on other emergency services, whether that's emergency room or law enforcement. And we are so lucky to be able to partner with, you know, the behavioral health hospitals in this county. Before the pandemic, we were able to do a lot of direct admits. so that people didn't have to go to the ER, especially if there was no physical health complication. And they have been working with us to get back to that model in, unless there is a significant medical need because of that. And for people to know about mobile crisis instead of having to go to the ER, right? We go to an ER when we don't feel good. So we really want to relieve that burden. I know we have seen it as well. Individuals that I love the idea of a bed availability base. I think that's so helpful to be able to know that day in and day out. It can be hard to know who has a bed available. And also for us to be able to be that connection and support individuals getting connected to those community mental health supports as well. I know that there can be, wait lists, or you never know what the staffing looks like at any given time. So we really want to do that part as well to support that quick connection to services in the spaces that we have the capacity to have influence over that.
Thank you so much. One of the other things that I wanted to raise, we know we have another, go ahead.
Sorry, this is Abby. I just wanted to also add that I encourage all callers, let Senator Collette know what's important to you. Let your House of Representatives and your any of your legislators know what is important. If you're on this call and you've experienced something, hearing personal stories helps to identify needs, and having your voice heard to have those needs met is so, so important. And I also think that increased wages for mental health professionals, right now for people who are direct service professionals taking care of individuals, the average wage is about $9.50 to $10.50 an hour. And many of the people in those direct service lines that are taking care of our loved ones are having to work 2 and 3 jobs to support their families. So people need sustainable wages so that they are able to only need to work 1 job so that they don't have high turnover and they're able to support their family.
Thank you so much. And I think you're right. You're raising a really good, this is the thing, right? We go into these lines of work because we care and we want to offer support, and you're right. It's difficult to offer support and care for others when you are struggling to care for yourself. So I really appreciate that perspective. Thank you so much. Jessica, I think we have another caller on the line that has a question.
Yes, and before we go to him, just a reminder to folks, if you have any questions or comments for tonight's discussion, you can press *3 to get on the line. That's *3. And we'll go to Fred. Fred, you're live.
Oh, I'm sorry. This my thought is recorded. A couple of things. So, number one, the 98, why can't that just sort of forward to the mobile crisis line? That's part one. And part two was, I was actually having to call the mobile crisis line a couple of years back. And, it was very nice. 2 young people came out and talked for a bit, but it wasn't really the addressing the crisis at hand. And they gave me a couple of references. And then those people gave me a couple other references, and then, I just kind of had to keep calling the next person down the chain, and then, like I said, really get anywhere. And on the other hand, there's, you can look it up for yourself, you find a big list of providers and just randomly pick one, you know anything about them. And they can say, no, we're not taking the patients right now, or no, we can't handle children or whatever, no matter what the thing
Fred,
is, it seems like there's so much disorganization.
Fred, thank you so much for, being on our call this evening, and I'm sorry that you, that you didn't have a great experience when you reached out, but I'm grateful that you reached out when you did. And I think that's part of why we're having this conversation tonight, to make sure that people understand why it is that we're constantly working for more resources for these support services. 988 can't automatically connect. Not every county has a mobile crisis unit like we do here in Montgomery County, and so that's why we do have people that are connecting the calls, you know, manually. But Maura, I wanted to sort of give you the opportunity to talk with us a little bit more about what you think more resources for mobile crisis might mean to a caller like Fred.
Absolutely. And Fred, I really appreciate your honesty. I always want that feedback, right? Because that can, where the spaces we can improve, we can do that. And I think that absolutely speaks to the challenges that we face as a crisis team. Of in my ideal world, of I would love a crisis system where, you know, no matter the time when we're with somebody, we could say, hey, let's call and get an intake schedule together. For there to be that connection and increase that. And I know that's something that we are talking about at a county level. How do we improve that to be able to do everything we can while we're with a person to ensure that long-term connection and support for them in addition to that. And exactly, I know it can be hard to have just a list of numbers and trying to figure that out. So I really appreciate that feedback. You know, and I will look at that and talk about that with our team as well of, you know, how can, you know, we really make sure that a person, you know, felt supported, or in our follow-up calls, how can we, you know, be really clear about how that's going, or if there's more that we can maybe do to try to help somebody. And again, you know, I with that, like they said about the 988, Montgomery County Emergency Services is the lifeline provider for the county, so that is why it can't be. Because not every county, when they set that up, not every county has the crisis program that we have, and because of the legislature, there had to be consistency across the state.
Thank you so much, Maura. And I know we only have a few minutes on our call, and I definitely want to give each of our panelists an opportunity to just, you know, go back and let us know what it is that, how we can reach their organization. I do think we have someone from the VA that's on the line to provide some resources. Is that right, Jessica?
Yes, we have Joseph. Joseph, you're live.
Good evening. Thank you, everybody, for coming tonight. This is fantastic. This needs to be discussed. So my name is Joe Palmieri. I'm here with my colleague. Dr. Chris Marconi. We're also with the APMA. I'm the president of the APMA-elect. She's the past president. But today I wanted to give everybody a resource, the VA in Montgomery County over in West Marton. So if anybody has any veterans need to come in and speak, please reach out to us. We have resources. If we could be of any help at all, please come out. Our phone number is 610-384-7711. And I'm the manager there. You can ask for me, whatever you need. Just please come and see us. We're here for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And I think we have, Jessica, I think we have another caller on the line.
Yes, we have Catherine from Corsham. Catherine, you're live.
Hi, everyone. I had a comment really to make of a personal story for me. When I was 13 years old, my father died from choking to death on a piece of food, actually. And my mother made me go to school like 2 days later. And when I went into the classroom, my teacher announced that my father had passed away and for everybody to be kind to me. And it really totally took me aback because I was trying to forget about it. And that brought everything up. And then by the end of the day, there were all kinds of stories that my father was shot. There was a house break-in. It was horrible. And if it wasn't for the counselors at the school at the time, the Happer Horsham School District, I don't know what I would have done. They actually saved my life because I had contemplated suicide at 13. And they were just very helpful, and I just will never forget them. And, you know, it's like nowadays, I see that there's so much more available for students in school, but there's still so much more need. And where do we get that money for that need? And as far as talking to your children, a lot of them just do not want to talk to their parents about it. They'll talk to their friends, and their friends have to know that if your friend talks about something like this, it's serious, and you have to let an adult know.
Thank you so much, Catherine, and I really appreciate you sharing that story and also for talking to us about the critical importance of our guidance counselors in school. I really appreciate that. I know we only have a few minutes left, and I want to make sure that each of our panelists has the opportunity to share with us contact information for the resources that they represent. Abby, would you like to start? Tell us, how do we get in touch with NAMI?
Absolutely. Thanks, Senator. So I learned at NAMI that there are 25 Montgomery counties around the country. So my biggest share with all of you is I'm not going to worry about emails or websites. You can Google NAMI, N-A-M-I, Montgomery County, PA. We've had friends of ours in the community that ended up in Maryland and other places. We have a website that you can access there. We also have a helpline that's available Monday through Friday that a live person usually answers unless we're on the other line. And we're really here to connect you. So we are here to connect you with resources. We are here to connect you with other families and individuals that have come out on the other side of challenges and now are here to support people going through challenges to give some hope and help. I do want to make one really quick last word, if I could. Senator, when you talked about asking the question, I want to leave you all with, if you are doubting or questioning if someone you care about is feeling suicidal, asking that question might feel like a million pounds, but it's better to ask and start the conversation than not and wonder if you could have made a difference. QPR, again, I'm going to plug that training, Suicide Prevention Month. Access Services offers QPR trainings, the Montgomery County Suicide Prevention Task Force does, and NAMI is hosting a free QPR training on the 28th of September, so the last Wednesday of the month, from 1 to 3 that can help you learn how to ask that question. But arm yourself with resources, and I'm just very thankful that you all took the time to be with us tonight. And, Senator, again, thank you for giving us the space to talk about a really vulnerable topic that needs to be talked about more often so it's not vulnerable.
Thank you so much, Abby, and thank you for being with us this evening. Moira, how do people contact Access Services?
Sure, and please buckle up. I have a couple different numbers for different reasons. So I'm going to start again with Montgomery County Mobile Crisis is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that hotline number is 855-634-4673, or it's 855-634-HOPE. So those last four digits translate into HOPE on the telephone pad. Also that was briefly mentioned was a norm line. So there are peer support talk lines for adults. So that's adults who answer that line. They're certified peer specialists with lived experience. And they're there Monday all the way to Sunday, 7 days a week as well, from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. And you can just call to talk every single day if you wanted to, if you just need someone to talk to and to listen. Or you can text them. So you can call the peer support talk line at 855-715-8255, or you can text them at 267-225-7785. And one last one is there's also a teen talk line. So there are younger certified peer specialists combined with teen volunteers who answer this line. The teens get training. If there's ever a concern, it immediately gets transferred over to us in mobile crisis. And teens, again, can also reach out from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. Or if you have a teen that's looking for a space to volunteer, you can call as well that number to get more information about that opportunity. So that call number is 866-825-5856. And the text number is 215-703-8411. So I know that was a lot of numbers. Thank you for bearing with me. And if you, you know, if I said them too fast, you can also always go to accessservices.org, and all of our information is on there with all the phone numbers.
Thank you so much, Moira. And just a reminder, too, that you can always go to SenatorCollette.com and reach out to us, and we're happy to connect you as well. Patty, can you tell us where is the Peyton Hart Project? Where can we find you next?
So you can go on thepeytonhartproject.org, and Peyton is spelled P-E-Y-T-O-N, and you have to put thepeytonhartproject.org. And, you know, I definitely, they will contact me and let me know. You can also, I will give you my personal email, Patty, P-A-T-T-I-D-I-L-L-E, at gmail.com, if you want me to do any kind of display or have an event within the community with anybody. You know, I'd be happy to do that. Just, you know, just contact me. Also, I just want to give a shout out to people that are on that have lost somebody to suicide. I often get phone calls, and I'm there to help people. I think it's so helpful to be there with, talk to somebody that's been through this. So I also, if somebody is in need of that, if you've lost a child and you just want to reach out to me, and I'd be happy to reach out to you and talk to you. There's some good organizations out there that help me, and I'm willing to help people too. I think we all need to help each other. So thank you so much for letting me be part of this.
Thank you so much, Patty, for being with us this evening. And Andrea, tell us about Abby's Bakery. Where can we find those wonderful mason jars full of goodness?
Sure. First of all, I do want to vouch that Patty Dilley is an absolute lifesaver. We know that firsthand, how she was there for our family. So I just want to say thank you to you, Patty. And I also wanted to tap on to what Abby said about how hard it is to ask those questions if you're afraid because you think that someone might be thinking about suicide and, like, how do you bring it up? I did want to just say that, you know, one of the biggest myths is that talking about suicide creates, you know, suicide, and it doesn't. You can openly talk about suicide and not fear that you're planting any seeds in anyone's mind. So I did just want to make sure I elaborated on that a little bit. And you can easily find us at abbysbakery.com, and Abby is spelled A-B-B-E-Y-S-B-A-K-E-R-Y.com. So it's Abby's Bakery, and Abby is with an E. you can also follow us on, we are on Facebook and Instagram. We are at Abby's Bakery Charity. We post inspirational messages daily, and also we're always sharing what events, you know, we have coming up on both our social as well as our website. We have an events page, and although we are not practitioners, we do have a ton of resources listed on our website. So, yeah, the next place we will be, if you'd like to buy a jar, is tomorrow night. We'll be at On the Border in the Chamonix Mall location. In the evening, they're doing a give-back event, and 20% of the proceeds, 20% of sales, will be benefiting NAMI. So come out, enjoy a Mexican meal, and buy a jar. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrea. That brings us to the end of this town hall. And once again, if you're struggling with suicidal thoughts or other mental health concerns, you know, we want you to know that you are not alone and help is available. If you need immediate assistance, call the 24-hour Montgomery County Mobile Crisis Line at 1-855-634-HOPE. That's 1-855-634-4673. And you can reach my office at 215-368-1429 or email us at senatorcollette@pasenate.com. Thank you all so much for being on our call this evening. Good night, and take care of each other.
Thank you for participating in Senator Collette's telephone town hall. If you didn't have a chance to ask your question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for the senator, and she will get back to you. Thank you, and have a great evening.